There was a day when God's created angels, holy, beautiful, and pure, were led in rebellion against the Father of the universe. Satan accused God of being unjust, unrighteous, and so began the controversy about God's character. God turned to a new creation. Out of chaos, he restored order. He made the first man in his own image, flawless, faultless, perfect like himself. But man, by disobedience, fell, and sin entered the perfect world. The human race became a part of the universal conflict. But even as man fell, God had a plan for the redemption of the human race. Finally, to forever triumph over sin and its power, God offered his only Son, a pure and acceptable sacrifice. The one who never knew sin became sin for us.
Shall grow up before him
as a tender plant
and as a root out of dry ground.
He has no form
or comeliness,
and when we see him,
there is no beauty that we should desire him.
He is despised
and rejected by men,
a man of sorrows
and acquainted with grief.
We hid, as it were,
our faces from him.
He was despised,
and we did not esteem him.
We're
was oppressed.
And he was afflicted.
Yet he opened not his mouth.
He was led as a lamb to the slaughter.
And as a sheep before its shears is silent.
So he opened not his mouth.
Surely he has borne our griefs
and carried our sorrows.
Yet we esteemed him stricken,
smitten by God,
and afflicted.
But he was wounded
for our transgressions.
He was bruised
for our iniquities.
The chastisement for our peace
was upon him.
And by his stripes
we are healed.
Through the long night of betrayal, trial, and false accusations, Jesus did not open his mouth in protest or in his own defense. Already faint with weariness and covered with wounds, he was given up to be whipped a final time. Our precious Redeemer remained silent as hands that he had created reached out at him with satanic fury. Soldiers spat on him and mocked him, pretending to pay him homage. They crowned him with thorns. While blood flowed from his wounds, the crowd shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Weak and fainting, he walked the road to Calvary. Reaching Calvary, those soldiers crucified our Savior. Those hands, so often reached out in blessing, were nailed to the wooden bars. Those feet so tireless on ministries of love, spiked to the tree. The spotless Son of God hung upon the cross. Jesus was dying on that cross, delivered up for us all, delivered up, his face spat upon, his back barred to the whip, delivered up to the coarse and cruel robe of a crown of thorns and a robe of purple mocking his kingly claims. Delivered up to the hammer and the nails and the cross to be mocked and disciple deserted. Delivered up to die alone, his heaven-piercing cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the cross, Jesus was delivered up, the guiltless for the guilty, the sinless for the sinful, the holy for the unholy. Why? He was delivered up for us all, for you, for me. He became what we are so that we might become what he is. This must be a cross of love. Christ did not yield up his love, his life, until he had accomplished the work which he had came to do. And with his parting breath, he exclaimed, "It is finished." The battle had been won. All heaven triumphed in the Savior's victory. Satan was defeated and knew that his kingdom was lost. With the death of Christ, the character of Satan was clearly revealed to the universe. Evidence of God's love was irrefutable. The victory was won. It is the first day of the week, at the darkest hour just before the dawn. The sleeping soldiers are startled awake by the brilliance of the angel of the Lord. They hear the angel proclaim, "Son of God, come forth. Your Father calls you." They see Jesus come from the grave and hear him proclaim, "I am the resurrection and the life." As he comes forth in majesty and glory, the angel host bows low in adoration before the Redeemer and welcome him with songs of praise. Thank you. It was Satan's purpose to separate man from God. But with his life, Jesus brought tidings of good news of God's love. With his gentle touch, he healed the sick. His tender gaze mended the brokenhearted. And with his death, he set the prisoners of sin free and broke the chains that ensnarled the human race since the fall of Adam. What glorious love is it that would make the God of heaven stoop so low as to take my place? God gave his son to be part of the human race forever. God has adopted human nature in the person of his son and has carried the same into the highest heaven. It is the Son of Man who shares the throne of the universe. Through eternity, one redeemer of the great controversy remains. Our redeemer will ever bear the marks of his crucifixion upon his wounded head. Upon his side, his hands and feet are the only traces of the cruel work that sin has wrought. The evidence of my sin for all eternity be upon him. Can the marks of his life and death be seen in me? Does my life reflect the gift of grace he has given? Can he be seen in me?
So through my life and all my days. I just want to say thank you to all of our kids for blessing us with that music. How many of you enjoyed that music so far this morning? It sure is good to have our kids lead us in worship, isn't it? You know, we're celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ 1 week later, thanks to our blizzard. But it's something we can't miss. Something we can't miss. When you look back at this weekend, there's a whole lot of ups and downs. Lots of ups and downs. When you look at some of the things that Jesus went through, the betrayals, that's one of the hardest things to go through as a human, isn't it? To be betrayed by somebody. It just rips your guts out, doesn't it? And Jesus goes through some tough betrayals from some really close people. But there's also some bright spots too, aren't there? In the midst of all of this pain, there's a little bit of beauty that shines through, because God is in the business of taking tough times and turning them into beautiful times. And there, as Jesus was nailed on the cross, and it looks like it can't get any worse, here, the man nailed to the cross right next to him gives his life to him. Imagine how that made Jesus feel. After going through all of this, and there he is, humiliated, in pain, mental and physical, and here the man nailed on the cross next to him believes. Isn't that incredible? In all of these ups and downs, there's a whole lot of things that happen on this specific weekend a long time ago. Lots and lots of different things. But the reason for all of these things boils down to one thing. And it's simple and complex all at the same time. There's a Christian artist named Stephen Curtis Chapman, and he had a song that was called, "After All, It's All About Love." And that's really true in this story. So many different things are going on in this Easter story, and yet it all boils down to love. John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." You know who said those words? Jesus said those words. He said, there's not going to be any greater love that you will ever see than somebody laying their life down for somebody else. And this is exactly what Jesus does on this weekend many, many years ago. He told his disciples over and over that he loved them. He showed them that he loved them. And this decision to sacrifice himself for people wasn't some spur-of-the-moment sort of thing. This is a plan based in love that started a long, long time ago. Before even the first humans, but the first humans heard it when the fall happened. The promise of salvation was theirs, and they started looking forward to that. This is something that Jesus had in his mind for a very long time, helping us out before we even existed. God had a plan for you. God planned to do something for you before you ever took your first breath, before you opened your eyes for the first time. God had a plan for you. God had been thinking about you for a very, very long time. I like to think that back when Jesus was putting this plan together and saying, "Hey, I'll do this. I'll do this because I love them." I don't think Jesus really had like this, just this big kind of them that he was really talking about. Just some innocuous group of people. "Well, I think that's a great group, and I'll go ahead and do it for them." I don't think Jesus had like a faceless picture in his mind when he decided to do this. I believe that when Jesus was putting this plan together, he had your face on his mind. He was thinking about you. long before you even existed. Isn't that amazing? The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. It wasn't when you were born, wherever you were born, that God was like, oh, surprise, look, here they are. No way. Jesus knew all about you before you ever set foot on this earth. He knew all about you. He planned to run into you. He loved you before you even knew he existed. He loved you knowing that you'd let him down. He loved you knowing that you'd sin and do and say all kinds of crazy things in life. He still loved you, and he still set the plan in motion. In one of the best books on the life of Christ, the book Desire of Ages, on page 752, it says, with amazement, the angels beheld the infinite love of Jesus, who, suffering the most intense agony of mind and body, thought only of others. When Jesus was going through all of this stuff for you, he wasn't thinking about him. He was thinking, this is going to make a way. This is going to make it possible for them to be saved. And I'm willing to give up my life for their life. This is such an incredible show of love. After this is all done, after the resurrection, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, why would Jesus prepare a place for us unless he absolutely wanted more than anything to be with us? I go to prepare a place for you, he says, so that where I am, there you're going to be as well. We can be together. It seems like Jesus wants nothing more than to be with you. Love doesn't show itself any clearer than this. Someone disappoints you repeatedly, gets you into trouble. You have to cover their trouble. You have to take the fall for them. And then you build them a house and provide them with a future of never-ending happiness. Isn't that unusual? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Even in this increasingly secular society, this is something that is recognized as heroic. About 10 years ago, a man named Ross McGinnis was a 19-year-old gunner on a Humvee in Iraq. As they were going through, they were ambushed, and a grenade came flying into their Humvee. It was himself and four of his buddies. And you've probably heard a similar story like this because it happens all the time in battle. There's war stories like this all over the place. And here, young 19-year-old Ross sees this grenade hit the middle of the Humvee. 19. And instinctively, before anybody else can do it, he jumps on the hand grenade. It detonates. He takes the full force of the blow from this hand grenade. That killed him. But he saved his four buddies. Imagine how those four buddies felt when they thought about what young Ross had done for them. He took the fall for all four of them. If he hadn't done that, all of them would be dead. And yet he, at 19 years old, jumps on this hand grenade and dies to save his four buddies. He was awarded the highest medal that you can get, the Congressional Medal of Honor, because our society realizes that there is no higher thing that you can do than to sacrifice yourself for somebody else. And although a lot of folks might deny the story that we're celebrating today of Jesus doing that exact same thing, deep down everybody knows that's the most heroic and noble thing you could do. It shows just how much somebody loves you. Imagine those four guys. How grateful those guys felt Is that how grateful we feel to Jesus? Do we stop and think about the real application to our lives? Is our gratefulness the same as these four guys in the Humvee to young Ross? There's a song by another Christian artist named Michael W. Smith. And he has I remember this song from a long time ago. And it talks about how even though we've gone through all kinds of things in life, we've never once ever been unloved. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Because a lot of times we feel unloved, don't we? Like nobody cares, maybe. Like we're going through something and nobody really gets what we're going through. And even though we're not perfect, even though we mess up, we've never ever been unloved. Here's how the song goes. It says, I've been unfaithful. I've been unworthy. I've been unrighteous, and I've been unmerciful. I've been unreachable. I've been unteachable, and I have been unwilling. And I have been undesirable. And sometimes I have been unwise. I've been undone by what I'm unsure of. But because of you and all that you went through, I know that I have never been unloved. I have been unbroken. I've been unmended. I've been uneasy. I've been unapproachable. I've been unemotional. I've been unexceptional. I've been undecided, and I've been unqualified. Unaware, I have been unfair. I've been unfit for blessings from above. But even I can see the sacrifice you made for me to show that I have never been unloved. We go through a lot of different journeys in our lives, don't we? And I think the devil loves nothing more than to make us think that we're not loved, like nobody cares. But the story through the Gospels and the end and the sacrifice that Jesus made for you shows you that there has never been one time in your life when you have breath in your lungs that you have been unloved. There's never been a time where you've been away from God, where God hasn't still been loving you. There's never been a time in your whole life, and there never will be a time in your whole life when you are not loved more than anything in the world. Life is full of situations that leave us empty, sometimes making us feel unloved. Today, I want to remind you that Jesus loves you very much. Jesus has had you on his mind for a long time. You on his mind. Sometimes it's easy to think, well, this is just a really nice story, isn't it? It'd be really nice if it was true. But could somebody really love somebody that much? We've heard this story so many times. Is this really real? Is there skin on this story? Because sometimes it's hard to apply to our lives and say, I don't feel really loved right now. But I want to assure you that there is a God who loves you. This isn't just some nice story. This is a true story. There is a God who cares so much about you. And no matter what you go through in the world, you are never alone in that story. There is a God who is by your side, loving you every step of the way. Your story isn't over. There's a lot of story left. God, more than anything, wants to be a part of that story. And today, if you forget everything else, just remember this, that you are loved.
When Christ will come to the earth again, he will come in his own glory, in the glory of his Father and the glory of the holy angels, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of angels will escort him on his way. Then he will sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him will be gathered all the nations. In the place of a crown of thorns, he will wear a crown of glory. In the place of that old purple robe, he will be clothed in raiment in the whitest white. and on his garment a name will be written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Your heads,
O you gates,
and be lifted up,
you everlasting door.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is the King of Glory?
The Lord strong and mighty.
The Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads,
O you gates.
Lift up, you everlasting doors.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory.
Please stand with us for our closing song.
Ever be grateful for the gift that you have given us. Lord, it's staggering sometimes to think about what you did for us. And sometimes the devil wants us not to believe it. But Lord, don't ever let us doubt just how much you love us, just how far you went to get us. And remind us daily of the hope that you are building a home for us in heaven because you love us so much and want to be with us so much. Help us in our hearts to be ready when you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.